Again, it's good to see you this morning. I'm so glad you can be with us. And we are continuing our series on the evidence for the resurrection of Christ. And if you were with us 2 weeks ago before Mother's Day, this is what we looked at. The evidence that expected prophecy was fulfilled. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4 states very, very clearly that Jesus died, he was buried, and he was raised back to life according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures. It actually says it twice. So it shouldn't have been a surprise that the Messiah would fulfill Old Testament prophecy according to the scriptures. Well, how many prophecies are there in the Old Testament about the Messiah? Well, pick a number because scholars tend to vary, but a conservative number is this one. More than 100 Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled by Jesus. That's, again, a pretty conservative number. Some would say it's two or three times that number. But at least 100 is a well-accepted number. And of that 100, of those, 50, more than 50 were fulfilled by, guess what? His death and burial and resurrection. Just like 1 Corinthians 15 said. No wonder Paul could write with confidence that all of this happened according to the scriptures. That prophecy was being fulfilled. And that we could see this as a line of evidence that Jesus is the Messiah and that the resurrection of Christ is a historical fact. What might a skeptic say of this idea of prophecy being fulfilled? Well, they might say two things. The first one, Jesus engineered the fulfillment. In other words, he read the prophecies and then he lived his life in such a way to fulfill those, even though it was a sham and he was a liar. Like, for example, when you read that the Messiah would enter Jerusalem on a donkey, he decided to do that. He engineered the whole thing. That is what a skeptic might say. There are some real problems with that. You don't have to look at that too long to discover there are many, 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 many prophecies that simply cannot be engineered. They cannot be humanly manipulated. There's no way. Some examples that the Messiah would be born in the tribe of Judah, that he would be born in Bethlehem, called out of Egypt, betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, beaten and spit on, that soldiers would cast lots for his clothing. How could you humanly engineer any of those things? You just can't. A second line of thinking that a skeptic might say is that the prophecies were fulfilled by chance. You get enough people on the earth for a long enough period of time, and mathematically, no matter how slim it may be, all of these are fulfilled in one human person simply by chance. Well, we looked at some of the numbers 2 weeks ago. If you believe that, you believe in the long odds because there's a gentleman mathematician. Again, his name is Peter Stoner. And in his book, Science Speaks, he figured out the odds. He's a smart guy. Of 8 prophecies being fulfilled by chance. Not 100, not 50, just 8. What are the odds that 8 are fulfilled randomly by chance in one person? And what he came up with was the odds of 1 in 100 quadrillion. That's 1 with 17 zeros behind it. The math just isn't there that it would be fulfilled simply by chance. So that's where we were 2 weeks ago. This morning, we're moving on. We're looking at evidence number 5. So this morning, what is the 5th piece of evidence for the resurrection of Christ? And I hope as we look at it this morning that it will strengthen your faith, knowing that you have strong evidence on which to build your faith that Jesus is alive and well. So let's pray before we look at this together. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you can speak to our minds and our intellect this morning as we examine another piece of evidence for the reality of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So Lord, help us to understand, and would you build our faith? Would you work in our lives this morning? And we thank you for this time, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So here we go. So what is the 5th piece of evidence for the resurrection of Christ? As we did before, we're going to let Dr. Bobby Conway introduce the idea, and then I'll take it a little further. So here's Dr. Conway with our evidence this morning.
Christianity for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the whole idea that he was seen by eyewitnesses. In Paul's greatest treatise on the resurrection of Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians 15, he writes in verse 5, and that Jesus appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Now the 12 is used as a title. We know that Judas is out of the picture. Jesus' group of disciples was referred to as the 12. It's sort of a label, a title. And we also know that Judas was replaced. It says in verse 6, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep or have died. In other words, Paul's saying he appeared to 500 at once, many of which, most of which, are still alive. In other words, if you don't believe me, the evidence still lives. The evidence still walks and breathes. Go and ask them. It says, then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, to one untimely born. He also appeared to me. We know that he showed up on the Emmaus Road and appeared to the disciples there. And so he showed up on ample different occasions, affirming and validating his resurrection. We need to realize that this eyewitness testimony is massive as a line of evidence, because while Jesus was alive and living, the disciples were scattering. But after he died, the disciples were sticking close to Jesus and living for him and announcing his resurrection.
So this morning, the piece of evidence that we're going to look at is simply this. The fact that there were eyewitnesses of the resurrected Christ. It wasn't just a teaching. It wasn't just a belief system. There were actual people who saw the risen Savior face to face. And they spoke with him. They ate with him. They walked with him. They talked with him. That sounds like I'm about to break into song, doesn't it? I'm not going to. So there's eyewitnesses of the risen Savior. And the scripture, again, that we've been looking at is 1 Corinthians 15. We looked at that earlier, but now we're continuing in the passage. And Paul lists some of the eyewitnesses that saw Jesus face to face. So I invite you, if you would please, to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. And this time we're going to start at verse 5. He already spoke about how Jesus died and was buried and raised back to life according to the scriptures. Now he's continuing his thought. He's building the evidence, and he's listing some of the eyewitnesses that saw the risen Christ, that talked with him, that spent time with him. So this is 1 Corinthians 15, and we're starting in kind of the middle of his thought process at verse 5. And it says, and then he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. When we look at this list that Paul's writing, he mentions six groups of eyewitnesses or six appearances of the Lord Jesus. The first one to Peter or Cephas, depending on your translation, and then to the 12, and then to more than 500 at once, and then to James, the brother of Jesus, and then to all the disciples, and then finally to Paul himself. So he lists these six appearances, these six groups of eyewitnesses. And it might be interesting to think, well, is that all of them? Is he giving a complete listing of the eyewitnesses of the risen Christ? He's not. He's not. This is a summary. So when we look at the totality of Scripture, how many appearances did the resurrected Jesus make? How many groups of eyewitnesses did see him? It's more than six. The actual number is 11. The Lord Jesus made 11 appearances after his resurrection, and we can categorize them 5, 5, and 1. That equals 11, right? I'm not the best in math. Okay, 5, 5, and 1. Here's what I mean, okay? Jesus appeared 5 times on the day of his resurrection. On Easter morning, that first day, he appeared 5 times to 5 groups of eyewitnesses. I love that. Almost half of his total appearances happened on that first day. That very first day. Who did he appear to on the first day of his resurrection? He appeared to Mary Magdalene, the first person to lay eyes on the resurrected Christ, even though she didn't recognize him at first. Even though it took a few moments of conversation until she realized and her eyes were seeing clearly that this is Jesus. He also appeared to the other women at the tomb, the other four that we know when we put all the Gospels together. He appeared to the two followers on the road to Emmaus. One of them is named Clopas. The other one we don't know. Timmy. I don't know. Don't know who it is. That happened on the day of his resurrection. He also appeared to Peter on the day of his resurrection. Peter, who denied him. Peter, who I'm sure was struggling and was anxious and had no idea what was going to happen to him. He appeared to Peter the very first day of his resurrection. And then he appeared to the disciples without Thomas. Remember that one? We don't know where Thomas is. He's not in the room. We'll come to Thomas later. So the very first day of his resurrection, look at all of these eyewitnesses, different people, different places, different situations, to be honest, different levels of belief in what they saw right in front of them. So he appeared 5 times on the day of his resurrection. Remember, we said 5, 5, and 1. So in addition to the 5 times on the day of his resurrection, he's not done yet. The Lord Jesus appeared 5 more times over the next 40 days. 5 more times over the next 40 days. Now, who were these eyewitnesses that had the amazing opportunity to see Jesus face to face? Well, the first one, the disciples with Thomas. And of course, that's when Thomas, after doubting earlier, sees the scars, sees the wounds, sees the side. And that's when he put his faith in the fact that Jesus is alive. And that's when Jesus gave us the words that blessed are you because you've seen me and you believed. But how much more so are people blessed who have not seen me, but who believe? Just an amazing dialogue between the two. He appeared to the 7 disciples at the Sea of Galilee, right? This is when they went back fishing, right? And they're all named. They went back fishing. They fished all night, and they caught nothing. They caught a big net of nothing. And, of course, Jesus is on the shore. They don't recognize him at first. He calls out to them. They throw the net on the other side. 153 fish. Drag it in. Peter jumps in the water, swims to shore. They have breakfast together. Jesus has this conversation with Peter about love and commitment. Peter has the chance not to deny Jesus 3 times, but to say, I love you 3 times. It's just amazing. What an amazing appearance of the Lord Jesus. And then he appeared to over 500 at once in Galilee. Over 500 people at the same time. And then number 4, I bet this was interesting. He appeared to James, his younger brother. Maybe this is Jimmy. I don't know. He appeared to James. Remember when we looked at the Gospel of Mark, his brothers and sisters thought Jesus was crazy. I mean, truly, I'm not making light of this. They thought he was insane, out of his mind. And now the risen big brother, the risen Jesus, is appearing to his younger brother James. What a moment that must have been. And we know how it changed James' life and all that he did moving forward in faith. And then finally, of course, the disciples, before the ascension, before our Lord Jesus went back up into the heavens, giving them the great commission to share about him with all nations. So these five appearances of Christ, again, look at all the different eyewitnesses, different places, different groups, different sizes, again, different responses from the people, different levels of belief. But all of this happened in the next 40 days up until his ascension. The first one actually happened 1 week after his resurrection, on the very day, 1 week later, he appeared to Thomas. Five times on the very first day, five more times over the next 40 days, and then one. Because five and five, that doesn't equal 11, so one more. And we know the one more appearance recorded in Scripture, of course, is to Paul. To Paul, after the Lord Jesus ascended back into heaven. Think about that. He left the glories of heaven to appear to Paul. He didn't send an angel to do it. He didn't send another messenger to do it. He himself came down and appeared to Paul, and it changed Paul's life. We can read about that, of course, in Acts chapter 9. So there we have the eyewitnesses of Christ, not just one or two, not just the disciples, not just men, not just in Galilee. All of these different people, different occasions, different places, different group sizes, saw the Lord face to face, talked with him, spent time with him, had conversation and meals with him. They interacted with the risen Christ, not a ghost, not a spirit, but the risen Christ in his resurrected body. He was alive, and there were eyewitnesses to that amazing fact. What might a skeptic say of this? The fact that all of these people claimed to see with their own eyes the resurrected Jesus. If you doubt this and you struggle with this and you want to punch holes in this line of evidence, what might you say? Well, you might say this about the evidence of eyewitnesses. You might say that all of the appearances of a living Jesus after his death, what were they? You could say they were mere hallucinations. They were just hallucinations. They were just figments of people's imagination. It was simply in their mind. It has no basis in reality. It's simple hallucinations. Okay, well, if that is someone's perspective, then if we look closer at that, how good is that line of thinking? Does it stand up to reason or not? I'm going to let this gentleman and his words tell us. Wayne? Do you know who that gentleman is? Sure. Yes, okay. I'm putting you on the spot, and now I feel uncomfortable doing that. Okay, well, you'll know why I'm looking at Wayne. This is Gary Collins, and Gary Collins is a licensed clinical psychologist. Let me tell you more about him. He has a PhD in clinical psychology from Purdue University, and that has nothing to do with the chickens, by the way. I looked into that. He wrote more than 170 articles on psychology. He wrote over 60 books on psychology. He also was the executive director of the American Association of Christian Counselors for 7 years. He's traveled to more than 50 countries speaking and leading seminars for professional counselors, pastors, and lay people. He is currently the president of the International Christian Counseling Alliance. Now repeat that back. Why did I give you his resume? Because he's here. No, he's not here. Because I wonder, with his knowledge, his expertise, his background, I wonder if he has anything to say about hallucinations of the mind. Do you think he has anything to say about what hallucinations are and what they are not? I hope so, or what a waste of time we just had. Here's what Dr. Gary Collins said. Hallucinations are individual occurrences. They're individual occurrences. By their very nature, only one person can see a given hallucination at a time. One person. Not the group of disciples all together. Not the more than 500 gathered at once. It's impossible. 500 people gathered at once cannot have the same hallucination in their mind of the same person at the same time with the same circumstances. It doesn't happen that way. It's an individual type of phenomenon in our mind and in our brain. So right now, Nancy can have hallucinations of pink elephants, and Robin can have hallucinations of me and her eating at Arby's, which we do quite often, but they're not going to have the same hallucination at the same time. I guess that would be pink elephants eating at Arby's. I'm not really sure. So that is one problem with this skeptical approach. Here's the second problem to this thought. All appearances were simply hallucinations. The second problem is this. The eyewitnesses who saw a living Jesus after his death did not expect to see him. Why were the disciples so shocked? Why didn't they believe right away? Because they didn't expect it. It surprised them. The women who went to the tomb to anoint his body, they didn't expect this. It surprised them. And here's the thing. Hallucinations require expectation. Psychiatrists agree that hallucinations require expectation. Your mind is acting out something that you are wishing for, that you are expecting. Now, it might twist it around and distort it, but it doesn't happen from something that you never expect would ever happen in your wildest dreams. A psychiatric study in 1975 suggests that the content of hallucinations, the content of what people visualize, reflects the efforts of that person to fulfill something. What? Their wishes and their expectations. The disciples never expected to see Jesus alive. The 500 gathered never expected to see Jesus alive. That's why they were so slow to accept this fact. That's why when the women came running from the empty tomb to share the news with the disciples, they didn't believe. That's why Peter and John had to run to the tomb for themselves, and they still struggled for a while to believe. It just doesn't add up. It doesn't add up. So as recorded in Scripture, eyewitnesses of the living Christ, Jesus appeared 11 times, 5 on the day of his resurrection, 5 over the next 40 days, and then finally once to Paul. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of eyewitnesses saw Jesus face to face. This is powerful evidence of the resurrection of Christ. And when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 15, he said, many of them are still alive. Don't just take my word for it. Go talk to them. Talk to the disciples. Talk to the women. Talk to those that were in the crowd of 500. Ask them what they saw. Listen to their stories. See if it makes sense. See if they're all saying the same thing. Don't just take my word for it. Get busy and find out for yourself. They're still alive. Eyewitness testimony is powerful that the Lord Jesus is alive. Here's an interesting question. Does the risen Savior still appear to people today? I don't know. Can the resurrected Christ leave heaven as he did with Paul on the road to Damascus? If he chooses to, can he leave the glory of heaven and appear to people today? Is it possible that people could have an encounter with the living Christ? Is it possible? Many people would say yes. That just as he did previously, if he chose to do so, for reasons that might be known only to him, he could do so again. Many people believe that. And many people claim today to be eyewitnesses of the resurrected Christ in his glory today, including this gentleman. This gentleman claims that he saw the resurrected Christ, much like Paul did. And that Christ spoke to him, much like he spoke to Paul. And that it changed his life, just like it changed Paul's life. This gentleman's name is Tomrat Lane. Tomrat Lane. He is the former prime minister of Ethiopia, a large country in Africa. And he has an amazing story of what he claims of being an eyewitness to the resurrected Christ. Is it possible? What might that look like? How might that change someone's life if it is in fact true? Well, instead of me telling you a story, I'm going to let him tell you his story. It's about 7 minutes long. So here is Tomrat Lane sharing about his eyewitness experience with the resurrected Christ.
Grew into a popular revolt and a popular movement involving almost all the sectors of the society. I became a communist by way of studying Marxism, Leninism, and so on. We had this small group, communist groups. We started armed propaganda units. We built more than 120 up to 150,000 army. And then after the 15th year in 1991, we defeated the government army and we took power. We established a transitional democratic government. I was elected as prime minister at that time. And one of my friends who was with me in the mountain became elected as president. Was arrested and then sentenced to 18 years. The prison in Ethiopia is not prison like here in America. Prison there is very bad. It's really bad. I stayed atheist. I was not believing in God. I was alone. The prison was dark. I mean, dark in the sense of the darkness of life. When I went to prison, my son was only 4 and my daughter was only 2 months old. It was not only that I was prime minister or defense minister just yesterday and today I became prison, but it was also that I was a family man yesterday with my children, with my wife. Today I just lost them. I lost everything in the world. My communist ideology and my conviction had become floundering. I started realizing that the communist ideology is not working. I came to understand my past life, my past journey was basically in a wrong direction. I was convinced that violence was wrong. When we were in the mountains, we were saying that freedom comes out of the barrel of a gun. But later on, I came to know that that's not true. The nurse that was taking care of me, she brought me a tract, a tiny tract, a paper. It says, the only one that can give you a new life is Jesus Christ. And that struck my mind because for 5 years I was searching for a new life. And from the Bible, there is a quotation which says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said that. The night after this encounter, in the middle of the night, I woke up. And when I woke up, my room, I was alone in a room. my room was lit with a bright light, very brilliant one, and having different reflections like a diamond. There was a figure. It was clear that it was a figure, a human being like a figure. It was not possible for me to look into his face, stare his face, because it's so powerful. Right at that time, he said, "I am Jesus. Believe in me and follow me. If you follow me, I can give you the new life that you are searching for." And he also told me that I will be out of that place and I will go out to the world to witness his name. Then he went away and all the light also went away. I was sweating, also was weeping, but I couldn't also take it as true, because that was my first encounter in my life. So the second night he came back just like the previous one, and he came and he also said me the same thing. I am the one who can give you a new life. Follow me. But right after that, after he went, after the third night, I just knelt down and I gave up. I surrendered. I said, "I follow you." Peace, joy, and hope. For the first time in my life, even around people around me were aware that I am in some kind of, in a different kind of life. I was deeply, you know, my worldview was deeply ingrained in atheistic way of seeing things. So he had to do that. He had to have a special kind of hammer to knock my heart. I met them and I forgave them, and I also asked their forgiveness, and I made peace with them. I reconciled with them. And Jesus Christ found me in prison. He didn't tell me about any religion. He didn't tell me about philosophy. He didn't come and say, I am the boss of the Christianity, or follow Christianism, or follow Islam, or follow Buddhism, or whatever the religion is. He didn't tell me that. At all. He just said, "Follow me." It's about following Jesus, following the life and the teachings of Jesus.
I don't know. Certainly changed his life. He lives in the United States, and this once former atheist communist prime minister of Ethiopia is a minister of the gospel of Christ. How do you explain all of that? I don't know. But in closing, I do know this. I personally have never had that type of experience, right? I have not seen the glory of the resurrected Christ with my own eyes. I'm guessing you haven't either. Billy Graham is quite famous for stating that about his own life, that he never had a supernatural encounter or vision, but in no way did that diminish his faith. Because again, remember what the Lord Jesus said when Thomas and the disciples were together. How much more so blessed are those people who have not seen me, but believe. This morning's evidence, there are eyewitnesses that saw Jesus face to face, recorded in Scripture, maybe even today. And even though I've never seen him with my eyes, I have seen Jesus. I have. I've seen him through the eyes of faith. I've seen him as he has worked in my life. I've seen him as the scriptures become alive to me through the power of the Holy Spirit. I've seen Jesus' grace and mercy and provision. I've seen his protection and his forgiveness and his kindness. I've seen his guidance and his power working in my life. I've seen all of those things. And I don't know how to explain it in any other way than the living Christ working and moving in my life. And I'm guessing many of you have the same experience. A question to think about is this: how have you seen Jesus in your own life? How have you seen him moving and working and providing and protecting and forgiving? And how have you seen him changing who you are from the old to the new? How have you seen him in your own life? It might not have been with this, but it's certainly true. His presence moving in your life. So my friends, be encouraged that we have good evidence for the resurrection. We have early credo affirmation. We have the fact that he was executed on a Roman cross. We have the empty tomb. We have expected prophecy being fulfilled. And finally, eyewitnesses of the risen Savior. Not a hallucination, not a product of their own imagination, not just a spirit or a vision, but actually seeing the resurrected Christ alive and well and moving and working just as he is today. Friends, be encouraged by the evidence that we stand on with our faith. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment that we could explore together all of these eyewitnesses, the day of your resurrection, over the next 40 days, how you appeared to Paul, how you appeared in other people's minds even today. And Lord, we know you can do that if you want to. Of course you can. So Lord, we thank you for the simple yet profound and life-changing fact that you appeared to eyewitnesses over and over and over again. And I thank you, Lord, that you appear in our lives as well. You show up in our lives. You are working and guiding in our lives, and we thank you for that. And Lord, we can't wait to see you face to face. We can't wait to bow before you and to see you and to realize that all of this evidence points to the truth. We can't wait to spend eternity with you in your perfect presence in heaven. So until that moment, until we see you face to face, until we look forward to hopefully living our lives in such a way that we hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Until that time, would you help us to be faithful? Would you strengthen our faith? Would you work in our lives? Would you help us to be like Christ? Would you give us a mission to change other people through the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of our testimony? And would you help us to be the church that you have designed us and called us and equipped us to be? Oh, Lord, we love you. We love you, Lord. We worship you and we thank you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray.